Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, code-breaking news, culture, dramatic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. And make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we are living through nowadays. Anyways, victory. Reuters released an article. I can't wait to cover it with you guys. And we're going to talk about this concept where fiat and the fiat system, whether it's the IMF, World Bank, I think they need nihilism. I think they need nihilism as a justification for theft. And if you compare that with the Bitcoin system, it works. It's not my birthday. It works in stark contrast. It's not my birthday. It's not even close to my birthday. And it works in stark contrast. Anyway, shout out Tucson. Kaboom, Rex. It works in stark contrast, right? And because I think it's a system, and I think NVK's handle really summarizes it perfectly. It grasps onto it perfectly. Deterministic optimism. And I think people that have been living in a world of nihilism for so long have a very hard time grasping that concept. So I think a lot of their news and propaganda, I think it's necessary. You constantly need to convince people that the world is burning down. So we're going to dive into that, but very, very big victory. Of course, the headline itself didn't say this, but to me, it was an admission that El Salvador is winning. So we're going to cover that. I also have a bunch of tweets pulled up of the man himself, Nayib Bukele, kind of bites back. But I think they're going to have a very difficult time holding back the floodgates or holding back the flood once Nayib Bukele and Michael Saylor have indicated. Michael Saylor mostly on the public company using Bitcoin as alternative to fiat. And then on the nation state side, Nayib Bukele using Bitcoin or using just Bitcoin really as an alternative to the, you know, the IMF and the World Bank. And I think that's really what freaks them out. And remember, like, we have to kind of do like a little, you know, we have to go back in time and remember what exactly it is that they did, right? The moment this happened, the IMF said they asked a sovereign country to walk back the Bitcoin law, right? So it's like, this was democratically passed with the majority in, you know, in their equivalent of Congress. And this international organization was like, no, you can't do that. They told the sovereign country what to do. And I think that really reveals how they truly feel about these countries and how they truly feel who controls these countries. And I think that they never foresaw something like Bitcoin coming and taking the power away from them. And I think that really is the cause of why they reacted the way they reacted. Anyways, we're going to dive into all that. But before we start the show, I want to bring on very special guest, very good friend of mine also, Chris Alamo, multimedia producer of Bitcoin Magazine. He's behind a lot of the magic at Bitcoin Mag. How you doing, Chris?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Nico. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you back on the show. And of course, my legendary co-host, always optimistic. It's not a coincidence that he calls himself Optimus Fields and Bitcoin is deterministic optimism. I don't think that's a coincidence, ladies and gents. Anyway, ladies and gents.
Mainly,
this is true. hopefully we can change that. We can get girlfriends.
Well, hold on, Nico. Before we go on, though, I think you need to give Chris his flowers. This is the best producer in the game right now.
Bitcoin media producer in the game. I don't know. I got to say, I love Jacob. Okay.
Hey, I already told Jacob that I was going to say that. And he said that Chris is the best producer in the game. So.
I love Jacob as well. And Opti, you're not too bad yourself. I mean, you're kind of a host producer, but, you know, there can be enough for, you know, we've got the best asset in the world. So
this is the way. Well, Nico, on the culture, since we got Chris, we're going to feature Bitcoin Mag and the Bitcoin conference. So let's go.
I'm excited, dude. I'm so excited for Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be dope. And I hope to see a lot of you guys in the flesh. Last time it was great. Got so many hugs, got so many pictures. So hope to see a lot of you guys there in sunny Miami Beach, Florida. Anyways, everybody, let's get some numbers. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, guys, I want to tell you about Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference in the world. Sunny Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th. You definitely don't want to miss it. I want to go through some of the speaker list because it's absolutely bonkers. Speaker list includes Michael Saylor, Lynn Alden, Alex Gladstein, Matt O'Dell, Stacey Herbert, Corey Clipston, and many, many more. You can take advantage of the promo code simply to get a major discount to Bitcoin 2023. Anyways, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is $22,035, sats per dollar, 4,538, block height, 776,535, reachable Bitcoin nodes, 14,396, blocks to the halving, 63,465, halving estimates, April 24, 2024, total Lightning Network capacity, 5,375 Bitcoin, capacity value, $118 million, realized monetary inflation, 1.75%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $425 billion. Anyways, I want to take a look at this. It was part of the ARK investments, right? So we had a very, very big Bitcoin bull. You know, she's responsible for a lot of the, you know, a lot of the bullish statements on Bitcoin, a lot of the price predictions, right? It's Cathie Wood, of course. And this is her fund. And these are some of the numbers. And I thought you guys would find it interesting, and who better to talk this about, which we have Chris on today. So let's take a look at this. It says Bitcoin is likely to scale into a multi-trillion dollar market. ARK's research estimates that the price of one Bitcoin could exceed $1 million by 2030. 2030 Bitcoin price target, right? And it has the different levels. It has 2030 price target. It has the 2030 price target base case. It has a 2030 price target bull case. On the bear case is $258,000. On the base case, $682,000. And on the bull case, $1.48 million. And then it takes some assumptions. So you have corporate treasury, you know, cash and equivalents. You have remittance assets. You have nation state treasury. You have emerging market currency, economic settlement network, seizure resistant assets, institutional investment, digital gold. Right. So a lot of these price predictions it's all dependent on whether Bitcoin can capture a percentage of these things. So for corporate treasuries, right, the bull case is about 5%. For the base case is about 2.5%. Remittance assets is between 5, 10, and 25. Nation state treasury, it's 0, 1, 5%. Emerging market currency, 0.5, 3, 10%. Economic settlement network, 1, 5 to 10%. Seizure resistant asset, 1, 3 to 5%. Institutional investment, 1 to 2.5 to 6.5%. And the one that I find the most fascinating, which is clearly a lot is dependent on that, is the concept of Bitcoin being digital gold, right? So, you know, if all plays well on the bull case, you know, it's anticipated that it would capture, you know, that 50% of that, and the base case around 40%, on the bear case is around 20%. And what strikes me about this number is that it's significantly higher than all the rest, right? Is this concept that Bitcoin is digital gold. Now, if you were to ask Bitcoiners, is Bitcoin digital gold? I would say absolutely, right? You know, it's scarce. It has absolute scarcity, unlike gold, right? There's giant asteroids in space that have, you know, the whole supply of gold just in that mere rock itself, right? So there's that concept. And then there is the fact that Bitcoin is just a lot easier to transport. It's a lot easier to go, a lot easier to like, think about how difficult it would be to send billions of dollars of gold overseas, right? You'd have to, you know, pay armed security guards. You have to pay for the transportation, the fuel costs, all of that. The reality is that you can send a $1 billion Bitcoin transaction for pennies on the dollar, right? So it's significantly different, right, than gold. But again, the acceptance, right? And most people don't see it like that. Bitcoin does live in cyberspace. So I think that's just a matter of that type of acceptance is going to take time. But I love how they broke down the numbers. Now, I would love to know what you guys think about this, about the bear case being 258,000, the base case being 682,000, and then the bull case being 1.48 million. Do you think that's too bullish? Do you think that's too bearish? Let us know in the comments. Personally, and I usually don't tell my personal opinion, I mean, I think the bear case is really bearish. I think that if Bitcoin, and I'll say that, if Bitcoin was only at 258,000 by the end of the decade, I would be very surprised. But at the same time, I wouldn't be that surprised, because at Simply Bitcoin, we do cover a lot of the incumbents' moves against the industry, the latest of which being the Biden administration's hostility towards the industry, right? Nick Carter wrote an excellent piece called Operation Choke Point 2.0, which we covered on the last couple of days, right? We spent the last 3 or 4 days covering the different moves, you know, and to me, that just seems very ominous. So again, like if you have this knee-jerk reaction from a very powerful government that all of a sudden they become hostile to Bitcoin, you know, obviously, you know, I think Bitcoin winning is inevitable because it has the best incentives. It's the best money the world has ever seen. But still, you know, those are all things that, you know, people don't anticipate. Now, the 1.48 million, holy crap. But you know, they said it best, right? That is the bull case. I don't know what's going to happen. But what we advocate for is, you know, Odell's famous lines, right? Stay humble, stack sats, dollar cost average into Bitcoin. And, you know, enjoy the ride, because it is going to be a crazy freaking ride. Anyways, Chris, what are your thoughts on that, dude? Was it too much hopium to start off the show?
No, I think it's just enough hopium. I'm horrible with price predictions. I've historically been wrong on calls. I know last year I was calling for more of like the 220 for the, or maybe not last year, but for the bull market, I was calling 220K Bitcoin. So I, you know, take my beatings and just say, stay humble, stack sats. Even if you look at it, I mean, 256K or whatever it was, that would be a 10X from where we are right now in terms of price to that point. So 7 years and a 10X return, you're not getting that in the S&P 500. You're not getting that in like a lot of the other investments. So still, even the bearish case is still very, very good for someone's personal net worth if they're, you know, dollar cost averaging now or just buying in. You just got to wait 7 years, which patience, I find in investing is kind of one of the most difficult things. You know, if you're just staying humble, stacking sats, like 7 years feels like an eternity, and Bitcoin's price can go up and down a lot between now and then. But 7 years is really not that long when you think about it in a span of a person's life, basically.
Yeah, 100%. And from an investment standpoint as well, right? Michael Saylor says it best. He's like, you can't think in year basis. You have to think in 5-10 year basis. So I completely agree with you. And I think a lot of people have been spoiled as well. You know, like what was the average return on Bitcoin? I think it's like 250% since its inception, right? Even if it does 50-60%, and you know this, Chris, like in the traditional world, if I told you, hey, you know, we're expected to make 50% returns on a year basis, you would literally laugh me out of the room. You'd think this person's a crazy person, right? Opti, what are your thoughts on this, bro?
Well, I must be bull-tarded AF because that bullish case seems bearish to me by 2030. But it's very nice to get some sober takes by Chris and Nico because and Kathy Wood, I guess, because I know me and all my friends in the chat are like, yo, you guys are so bearish. You guys are absolutely extremely too bearish. But I know it's kind of to Chris's point, you know, we're kind of talking out of our ass. If we're being honest, we're just like, yo, 21 million hard cap, like all the world's wealth is going into Bitcoin. Of course, it's going to be more than that in 2030. But it is really nice to see the numbers and the percentages that Kathy Wood put in that infographic right there to like actually back up her claims and her rationale behind this. So it is nice to see, you know, some sober takes versus us just being stupidly bullish. But I really like this comment that Tyler Durden swallowed the red pill put here. It's like, I don't focus on predictions. It doesn't alter my actions. And I think this is what we always say all the time on the show. It's like the fundamental base case of Bitcoin, like the Bitcoin fundamentals don't change. And this is why most people should be stacking Bitcoin, is understanding the basics and what Bitcoin is. You know, we say it all the time, 21 million hard cap, censorship resistant money, you know, freedom money, decentralized money, all the things that we continuously talk about. Like, this is why we are so obsessed with accumulating Bitcoin. And the price is noise. I think we said it yesterday. Like, if you're just focusing on the price, then you can get yourself lulled to sleep. There's a lot of stuff going on in the Bitcoin space that is happening currently that many people aren't talking about. And furthermore, like the Bitcoin network has never been stronger. Blocks continuously come in, all-time high in blocks. Like, the Bitcoin network works, and this is why most people should be saving in Bitcoin, is because it is so stable. And like we say on Twitter, it is boring, and that's a feature, not a bug. And this is why we want to hold Bitcoin, and we will continuously hold Bitcoin. And then as more people come on board, obviously it's going to get stupidly bullish. But to your point though, Nico, Bitcoin is more than just digital gold, and it's a good metaphor to capture people's attention. But I think we're going to blow away those digital gold percentage numbers that Kathy Wood shared with us. So I don't know. Who knows? I mean, 10 years from now, 7 years from now, I'm sure I will look back at this and be like, wow, you know, I was completely stupidly bullish like I always am. You know, self-avowed bull-tarded. I know this is just how I work. It's Optimist Fields for a reason. I just stay overly optimistic on Bitcoin, and Bitcoin's taking over the world. So hey, just enough hopium for me on this Tuesday morning, Nico.
Okay. Yeah, so it's safe to say that Opti's definitely on the bull side. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the news. Let's do this.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin.
All right, everybody. So Opti's pulling up the bullish comments, of course. So let's check this out first. Naimu Kele, dude. Guys, we've been covering this. Okay, you've been subscribed to Simply Bitcoin. You know what we're talking about. The legacy corporate media has been attacking this man as if their lives depended on it. Maybe they do. Anyways, in the past year, almost, and this is a tweet from Naimu Kele for audio listeners. In the past year, almost every legacy international news outlet said that because our Bitcoin bet, El Salvador was going to default on its debt by January 2023. And of course, that was proven to be wrong. It goes on to say, yesterday, El Salvador demonstrated that the big media, the so-called experts, I added the so-called part, the financial analysts and the credit ratings agencies shamelessly lie to the people, their audience, and their clients. The next time they say anything, remember that. And I completely agree. And Nayib Bukele wrote, shout out to Bitcoin Magazine, of course, he wrote an amazing piece in Bitcoin Magazine called Don't Drink the Elite's Kool-Aid, of which the most powerful line in that article, in my opinion, of course, was, you know, it's their ability to control the truth. And I think that the internet is making it incredibly difficult for them to do that, which is why they're calling for, you know, disinformation bureaus and all that stuff. And I think that historically, I think this is just an example of the great disintermediation that we're living through, whether that's information or that's money. Anyway, so no, we covered these tweets by Nayib Bukele when it came out. But the reason I wanted to cover this today is Reuters, the IMF. This is an admission of defeat, in my opinion. Of course, they're going to try to spin it, and we're going to read the spin. But the name of the article is IMF says El Salvador's Bitcoin risks have not materialized, but should be addressed. So, you know, to translate, we were completely wrong. And all the crap that we talked, right? You know, El Salvador, you have to, you can't make Bitcoin legal tender. It's absolutely dangerous. Not to mention the fact that they were saying, look, because Bitcoin is legal tender, Nayib Bukele is reckless. He's a dictator. They're not going to be able to pay back that bond. So they were wrong about that as well. Anyways, goes on to say, risk over El Salvador's embrace of Bitcoin, quote, have not materialized. But use of the cryptocurrency still requires transparency and attention, the International Monetary Fund said Friday in a statement after a visit to the Central American country. So we always talk about this concept of projection. So when they mean transparency, like, what do you think? Look, anyone could run the Bitcoin software. Anyone could make more Bitcoin as long as you're willing to, you know, pay the necessary cost to run a miner and the energy costs, of course. Now, can you print fiat dollars? Could you print SDRs? Could you check the supply of SDRs? Could you look behind the hood? Of course not. So what do they mean by transparency, right? And of course, this is just like them changing definitions. Think back on Nayib Bukele's article, of course. goes on to say, quote, given the legal risk, fiscal fragility, and the largely speculative nature of crypto markets, the authorities should consider their plans to expand government exposures to Bitcoin. Yeah, but you guys were wrong. El Salvador had record GDP growth, 10%, largest since they started reporting on the GDP, right? Murder rates are down. So what is it? What, like, please let me know what exactly the danger is. Anyways, the annual visit by IMF staff followed a $600 million bond payment by El Salvador last month amid investors' concerns over its financing sources and fiscal policy. Now, were investors really concerned about what El Salvador was doing, or what the media was reporting on what El Salvador was doing? The IMF's so-called Article 4 visit has been sharply critical in the past. El Salvador's move to make Bitcoin legal tender in September 2021 effectively closed the doors to IMF financing. Then why are you guys there? While the lender noted that risks, quote, have not materialized due to the limited Bitcoin use so far, and I love how they spin it. It's like the risks haven't happened because there's been limited Bitcoin adoption. Like, it's so crazy. Quote, use could grow given its legal tender status, and new legislative reforms could encourage the use of crypto assets, including tokenized bonds. Now, it's Bitcoin. Anyways, El Salvador's Congress last month passed a law regulating the issuance of digital assets by both the state and private entities. President Nayib Bukele announced on Twitter a series of purchases of some 2,380 Bitcoin, bullish, before mid-November when he said... Did he buy the bottom? Did Nayib Bukele buy the bottom? Anyways, when he said the Treasury would buy Bitcoin every day. If those purchases were made, the government holds nearly 2,470 coins acquired for about $106 million. The current value of that investment is $52 million for a paper loss of over 50%. And that's one of the, you know, narratives that they spin. Look at Michael Saylor. He's an idiot. Look at Nayib Bukele. He's an idiot. But, it's like, remember what your family said? When you got into Bitcoin, most people got into Bitcoin running up into a bull. They get absolutely wrecked, and then they get vindicated after they survive a full cycle. So what's their excuse going to be after Nayib Bukele and Michael Saylor are vindicated? Quote, greater transparency over the government's transactions in Bitcoin and the financial situation of the state-owned Bitcoin wallet remains essential. The IMF highlighted the full recovery of El Salvador's economy to pre-pandemic levels, driven by the effective government response to the health crisis. Real GDP is projected to grow by 2.4% in 2023, the IMF said, above the historical average. However, the lender also expressed a concern over rising current account deficit and the possible spillover effects of a recession in the United States. Okay, moving on to, you know, this CNBC article. And it goes on to say, quote, think of the unthinkable. IMF chief warns world is a very different place after crisis like the pandemic, like the virus, right? So, and then this kind of goes into the concept that I was talking about in the very beginning. It's constant nihilism. It's constant alarmism. This whole article says, look, like it wasn't Bitcoin. It was because Bitcoin wasn't accepted. They're still in trouble. It was the government's response to the pandemic that led to an economic growth. Like so many messages that completely contradict themselves. And I just want to pull this one last thing up, right? Is remember the deal that the IMF gave to Argentina? In that debt deal that they gave to Argentina, it expressly required the Argentinian government to discourage Bitcoin and shitcoin use in that country. Mind you, Argentina currently has 95% inflation. So is the IMF really looking out for the people of El Salvador? Are they really looking out for the people of Argentina? They would rather want the people of Argentina to use a currency that's being devalued, that the inflation rate is 95%, than to seek an alternative. So is this really about bettering the world as they promote themselves? Or is this really about keeping power and control? I think this is money, power, politics, like everything else. And it's just absolutely disgusting, this organization. And of course, you know, the media of which they control, Reuters being one of them. Anyways, that's my opinion on this. But dude, this is victory. This is awesome. I love to see, you know, I love to see that everything they said just being proven wrong right in their face. And I think they're going to have a very hard time when it comes to Bitcoin. I think their statements are going to continuously be proven wrong. I think that they're going to embarrass themselves. And I think that this is, El Salvador represents a shining light of hope to the world, to developing countries, that now they have an alternative to the IMF system. And the IMF system clearly comes with chains. It clearly comes with conditions, right? So shout out to Nayib Bukele. Shout out to the people of El Salvador. Absolutely killing it right now. Let's see where this goes. Anyways, Chris, what are your thoughts on this, bro? Are you as bullish as I am? Because this makes me very bullish.
Oh, I'm super bullish. I mean, I got the Orange Party here issue right here. We also published it digitally. So the article you were referring to was "Don't Drink the Elite's Kool-Aid." I think that's a great title. If I can just read one little sentence here from, or paragraph here from Nayib Bukele. So he's like, so the argument that we've lost 50 million worth of Bitcoin is false because we have simply not sold any Bitcoin. Bullish. And even if we were to accept this argument as true, then there would be ridiculous to conclude that an economy of $28 billion per year will go bankrupt or default because of a 0.2% loss in 1 year. When in 2021, our economy grew 10.3% or by $4 billion, this is using the IMF's own numbers. So, you know, there's a lot of great, you know, numbers in this article. So it shows like their GDP growth, their tourist income, employment up, new business, exports, energy, all those different things. But I'm really bullish on this. The IMF can't even fudge the numbers because Nayib Bukele used their own numbers to prove them wrong. So I find it very, very bullish. And I think he makes a great point. Like even the paper loss of 50 million is not going to drive an economy of about 40 billion based on their growth, you know, into default. Maybe if that's a U.S. bank, that might occur. But this is a country of El Salvador. It's showing more promise, more hope, more innovation. People, tourism are coming into the area and it's getting safer as well. As a country that he even said in his own words, used to be one of the most dangerous countries in the world, is now becoming more and more safe. And they're on a Bitcoin standard. So, you know, gives their people hope. And I'm really bullish on El Salvador and other grassroots movements of countries coming up, you know, and basically freeing their citizens with Bitcoin.
100%. And I, by the way, I love that article. We've referenced it so many times. Chris, do you mind showing the cover of that edition?
Yeah, so that's
absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, the Orange Party issue. You know, we got Nayib Bukele or Bukele Buck on there, you know, with the Bitcoin B in 21 for 21 million Bitcoin. It's a great article in there. And like I said, you can also find it digitally on bitcoinmagazine.com. It was such a great article that we didn't want to just keep for the print. But if you want a nice, you know, print copy with all the color photography, our print team worked really, really hard on all our issues. We also have the, you know, the fraud issue with SBF on the front, making fun of Forbes. So we're going to make fun of IMF. We got to make fun of Forbes and legacy media with their like piss poor reporting. And yeah, I mean, Nayib Bukele was catching them in a lie with their own numbers, which is even the best part. Like, you know, they fudged the numbers against him and he proves them wrong. So
100%. And Chris, you know, you being a Bitcoin magazine, why do you think the corporate media, I don't even call it, you can't call mainstream media anymore. We are the mainstream media, the individual making their own content, right? But why do you think, and again, that's not just me saying this, right? The most popular broadcaster in the world right now is currently Joe Rogan, right? Which is dude literally just started a podcast, right? So that's the power of the internet, right? But why do you think that the media is so, I would say, compromised? Like, why are they so hell-bent on selling the public these narratives? Isn't the job of a reporter to just report the news? I feel like it got so skewed. What do you think happened there?
I mean, I will use a quote of a guy who hates Bitcoin, Charlie Munger, our favorite guy. Show me the incentives and I'll show you the outcome. They are bought and paid for. You know, I hate to say it. I mean, when you're watching the mainstream media, random pharmaceutical companies sponsor everything in there, or, you know, they're sponsored by banks, or they're sponsored by the Cantillon effect of, you know, these companies get the freshly printed money and then they give it to their media arm or these corporations to spread the propaganda that like, nope, this is good. We've had record profits. So keep doing what we're doing, whether it benefits the people or not, whether it benefits our customers or not, it's good for business. And it's not good for the people. It's good for their corporate interests and their own bottom line, their corporations. I don't necessarily blame them, but to say that they're not lying would kind of be an understatement. And I think Bitcoin exposes that because it's the freest money in the world. You opt in to use it and you can transact peer-to-peer without getting restricted by corporations or by companies or by people or anything.
100%. I completely agree with you. Opti, what's your take on this, bro? What's the truth seeker? Oh, man.
Well, I was just going to start off with... Smells like victory, boys and girls. We're winning out here. As Chris so eloquently laid out, We've been saying since, I don't know, for a while now, we are definitely in a propaganda war. And I'm glad that you brought up the Bukele article in the Orange Pill Party Bitcoin Mag release, because first off, shouts out to the Bitcoin Mag team. I have a lot of friends over there. They're killing it. I love what you guys are doing. But we love
Bitcoin Mag.
Yeah, we referenced that article so many times because I feel that article holds a lot more weight than just us. You know, we're just average Bitcoiners out here. We have a YouTube channel. We just, you know, we have Twitter accounts, and slowly but surely we are becoming the media. But when it comes from a president who lays out the numbers and says exactly what we're saying, it does hold a lot more weight. And it's back to this idea that we can continuously say on this show that the powers that be cannot let the signal of Bitcoin spill out into other nations, and showing that Bitcoin helps individuals and even countries at large get out of fiat slavery, because once the signal finally gets that escape velocity, it's going to take over the world. And we're seeing it happen in real time. So, you know, let's not forget what the IMF and the World Bank does. You know, they get countries into debt to control them. So, of course, they're going to continuously FUD El Salvador in regards to them going on a Bitcoin standard. But again, you can't stop the signal. And I really love how they're still trying to kick that can down the road. Like, the Bitcoin risks have not yet materialized. Like, oh my God, it's still on the horizon, boys and girls. Like, it's going to explode. And it kind of leans into the crypto shitcoin narrative about you know, all the rug pulls in the space, and they're just kind of laying it out there, like, oh, the Bitcoin rug pull is going to happen at some point. But I really liked how Nico pointed out that the IMF is continuously projecting. Like, what are they talking about? Bitcoin is the most transparent money in the world. It's open source. It's completely verifiable. Like, this is the feature. Like, this is what Bitcoin does. But it shows, back to this idea that we continuously talk about on the show, that the powers that be are projecting onto Bitcoin what they are themselves doing. And they understand that the normie out there, the average person out there, doesn't fully understand Bitcoin. So they're leaning into these narratives to, you know, gaslight the citizens out there. Instead of helping people, they are just leaning into this narrative that most people don't understand what's actually happening into Bitcoin. And this is why we show up every day. This is why you guys need to continuously orange pill your friends and family, because Bitcoin is freedom tech. Bitcoin does help the world. And it's just a matter of education on an individual level. Just people don't understand what's going on here. And, you know, Bitcoin just continuously stays winning. The Bitcoin incentives work. Bitcoin works. Bitcoin is stable. And that's all that really matters. So shouts out to all you Bitcoiners. Continue to orange pill your friends and family, and we will continue to win.
Absolutely. And I just want to read, and shout out to Chris for sending it. We've read this many times on the show, but I feel like it's very appropriate for this specific subject, right? And this is a passage from Stop Drinking the Elite's Kool-Aid, an article in Bitcoin Magazine. This is a part of the passage that we've said many, many times, but I want to reiterate. So it goes on to say, the most vocal detractors, the one who are afraid and are pressuring us to reverse our decision, are the world's powerful elites and the people who work for or benefit from them. They used to own everything, and in a way they still do. The media, the banks, the NGOs, the international organizations, and almost all the governments and corporations in the world. And with that, of course, they own the armies, the loans, the money supply, the credit ratings, the narrative, the propaganda, the factories, the food supply. They control international trade and international law, but their most powerful weapon is the control of the truth. And they are willing to fight, lie, smear, destroy, censor, confiscate, print, and do whatever it takes to maintain and increase their control over the truth and everything and everyone. Well, it sucks for them, because Bitcoin is an absolute truth machine, and they're going to have a very hard time controlling that narrative as the time goes by. And this is a victory. This is a victory, and this is their way of admitting it. IMF says El Salvador's Bitcoin risks have not materialized, but should be addressed. Anyways, much more winning to come. Let's get to the culture. We have a ton to talk about. Let's do it.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack, with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
What are we going to talk about today,
Austin? All right, guys. Well, sorry, I was thinking about the question I was going to ask Chris, and I forgot to bring up the screen share. Well, not only do we have one of the best Bitcoin producers in the game, but Chris is a part, basically, like, I don't know, the man behind most of the Bitcoin media, Bitcoin Magazine media over there. And so I figured it'd be a good day to not only plug Bitcoin Mag conference, but also everything else you're working on. So I think my first question for you, Chris, I don't, we kind of named, you know, a bunch of speakers and stuff going on at the conference and the dates and all that in the beginning of the show. But I'm wondering, and last time we had another Bitcoin Mag guy on, we had some audio issues, but my question for you guys is, can we give some sneak peeks to the people out there? Is there anything that we can incentivize the people to get out there that you haven't dropped yet?
Yeah, I mean, without getting myself in trouble with the PR
yeah, don't
team
do that,
and all
don't
that.
Do that.
But I mean, this conference, we're going to have a big focus on energy. So that being said, I mean, you guys saw the announcement. Shell is sponsoring the conference and we're grateful for their sponsorship. It was actually a multi-year deal. So really excited. It wasn't just a one and done. Shell will be sponsoring this conference and I believe 2024. And I forget if it was 2 or 3 year deal, but, yeah, it was very exciting stuff and we're looking forward to it. So this conference will have a focus on energy. We've already beaten the financiers of the world, you know, the banks, the JP Morgan Chases, we beat all them. Now we're trying to orange pill the energy sector because they don't want to be getting paid in fiat dollars that countries can just print out ad nauseum. It does not benefit them. It does not benefit the customers. So we would love to see them, you know, accepting Bitcoin for payments. And we're trying to orange pill them. And they understand the importance of energy, how difficult it is to extract and the engineering processes that go in for it, for refining it for people. So really looking forward to having more of an energy focus. Obviously, we have talked about the finance of it all, the culture aspect. And we've got a couple surprise speakers that are I can't mention yet, but in the coming months that they'll be coming up. So really looking forward to that.
So Chris, why, and you know, and we've actually been, sorry about that. We've actually been covering and just to kind of give you guys like some context, right? Really in the last 2 years, we've seen one of the largest energy companies in Japan announce that they're getting into Bitcoin mining. We've seen ConocoPhillips, we've seen ExxonMobil, we've seen Gazprom in Russia. So it's obviously an international phenomenon. The case that we've made on Simply many, many times is, eventually, and Mike Colbert actually said this yesterday, right? I really believe that all energy companies eventually are going to become Bitcoin mining companies because it just makes sense, right? All that excess stranded energy, just free sats right then and there. So, but why do you believe that Shell threw their hat in the ring? Because it is a big statement, right? Like if you saw that on its head and you're like, why is Shell, the energy company, sponsoring a Bitcoin conference? So what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's their way of fighting against, there's a lot of green energy narratives, and I'm not saying green energy is a bad thing or a good thing, but at the same time, when the governments are saying they have to convert all of their energy production into a certain type of solar or wind or whatever it may be, you know, they're in the business of oil and gas at the end of the day. And also, they don't want to give their oil and gas away for basically free. I'm not saying that they give it away for free, but when you can print dollars freely and as much of it as you want, the fiat currencies are going to zero. So they have to find an alternative or an energy currency or a currency that's based off energy like Bitcoin in order to preserve their purchasing power in the long run. Obviously, people need energy and they pay in fiat currencies. Most energy purchases are pegged to the US dollar. And when the US can print ad nauseum, that their balance sheet is becoming devalued. This is kind of something that was really summarized by Michael Saylor. Basically, he said when he had $500 million on his balance sheet, he was like looking for an asset to put his money into. He's like, we could leave it in cash and it would get devalued over X number of years. And they basically, you know, basically get washed out and bought by a bigger corporation like a Microsoft, like an Apple, like another big tech company. So, or he can try and do something proactively by, you know, buying Bitcoin. Or the third option was he could give it to his shareholders, basically, you know, dissolve the company and, you know, walk away. So basically two of them were not beneficial to him, where the third one was take a risk by investing in something. And he did, you know, his analysis of art, stocks, you know, all these different things. And he found Bitcoin as the best solution for that because it's an energy currency or currency that's backed by energy. So that's kind of like the long-winded answer. It's these oil and gas companies are doing it to protect their own interest, and it is for their own benefit instead of taking a fiat currency that can be printed away into oblivion, basically.
Absolutely. 100%. Opti?
Yeah, man. Well, not only do I want to talk about the conference, I also wanted to plug some of the stuff you guys do on your YouTube. You guys just dropped the Freedom Money Show. Chris, like I say all the time, best producer in the game. What do you guys got cooking up on your YouTube channel over here?
Well, actually, I can say something that we're dropping actually later this evening. So we had a focus at Bitcoin 2022 called Pitch Day. This is obviously Bitcoin companies pitching to try and raise money. Think of it kind of like Shark Tank. Well, we're doing a Where Are They Now series. So meaning that companies that won or were part of Pitch Day will be having the episode. So the first one to drop tonight will be Albi, the company Get Albi, I think is a browser extension name. But basically, we're going to show clips from Bitcoin 2022 and then where they are now. So what their roadmap's been since they've received the funds, you know, what's in the pipeline for what they're developing, and things that they're including for the companies that they're doing. So later this evening, we'll be doing a premiere of Where Are They Now? Really excited for that. Tomorrow, the next episode, episode 3 of Freedom Money drops. And then Thursdays, we have FedWatch with CK and Ansel talking about the best macro guys in the game, giving you the noise with all the signal of the fiat economists saying, we're not in a recession, things are fine, things are not bad. So they give you the true signal and the Bitcoiner perspective of macro. So yeah, those are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, and we'll be doing that for the next coming weeks as we keep running the Freedom Money series and the Where Are They Now series.
Absolutely. Very, very Let's bullish. Go. Big fan of the Fed Watch with CK and Anzo. I actually got to meet Anzo in the flesh at Bitcoin Day in Naples. So that was really, really cool.
Let's go. We don't need to leak some, but do we know who's going to be at the Pitch Day this year? Do you guys already have that in the works? Have you leaked some of this stuff?
We have that in the works. We have not been doing announcements, so I can't say who it's going to be.
We won't get you in trouble.
In the coming weeks, we'll definitely have the announcement for that, though. So looking forward to, I think it's middle of March when that will all be
let's
announced.
Let's go. And then so, also, of course, guys, check out bitcoinmag.com. They drop great articles. We read them consistently on the show, you know. And the magazine, the actual physical magazine. Get your guys some physical content. They're beautiful. Shouts out to the team over there doing great work. Show the latest one. Yeah, show that latest one.
It's like, where's Waldo, right?
We're basically calling out, you know, Forbes, and you know, they were hyping this guy up and all that. And we got a Marcus Connors print on the back. You know, I look at this every day and you find something new on there. It's really, really cool calling out the fiat world, basically.
Awesome. So, Chris, why don't you, before we move on to the memes, of course, why don't you break down why you guys decided to focus on energy this year? What is it about the year 2023 that made you guys really focus on that?
I think the thing that made us focus on energy is it runs the world at the end of the day. I mean, while money is the base layer of buying things, I mean, one of the first things most people need is energy. When you're aside from food and water and shelter, but like energy to power your home, to power your cell phone, to power your computer, how we're doing this stream right now, to get from to and from work if you have to drive places. So energy is really a basis of the world. And when you do not have enough energy, societies normally break down. When you have an abundance of energy or abundance of cheap energy, countries can thrive and basically grow. So we have a really big focus on trying to grow the Bitcoin network. And we're in an interesting spot with everything. We're coming up on the year mark of the Ukraine-Russia conflict. And obviously when that occurred, energy became a lot more expensive for many countries. I feel really bad for our colleagues over in the EU that like energy was spiking. And it's basically, you think it would hurt big corporations, but at the end of the day, it hurts normally customers or, you know, the lower and middle class and small businesses. I mean, I think you guys even reported on this. There was this woman from the EU or the UK that she had like a bakery and her energy bills literally 10x'd overnight. And she's like, I can't afford to pay this and I can't take out debt. I already have enough debt with this business that her only option was either to go out of business or to leverage herself in a position that does not put her in a good financial state. So it's very, very important backing energy with something that has a tie to reality, basically.
Absolutely. 100%. And I completely agree. And it's almost as if there's been an attack on energy usage over the last, really, it's been happening for a while now. So what's your take on that? And you know, one thing that we always say on Simply is Bitcoin exposes incentives. So are they, you know, and Alex Epstein wrote a great book, right? What do you believe the attacks on energy usage come from a place of sincerity? Are they actually concerned about the betterment of the planet? Or does it really come from a place of wanting control? We went down this rabbit hole for quite a bit, Chris. I was on the fence for a long time. But as time progressed, it just, look, they're very smart people. They're very educated people. They have the resources. They have the, you know, they have the reports that we have access to. And it's as almost as if they're choosing to ignore them. And I don't want to say that 100% for sure, but it sure does look like that. And as of late, right, you had a Bloomberg crypto propaganda video that came out by Cal Penn, famous yep. actor, right? And in that video, he specifically was attacking Bitcoin's energy usage. So what's your take on that?
I think it's rules for thee and not for me. So they basically want to give rules for us, but not for themselves. I mean, we don't have to look that far. Davos happens, the first couple weeks in January every year. None of them kayaked from wherever they were over to, you know, Davos in Switzerland. They all took private jets, and they said that they actually used more emissions this year than ever before. So if they really cared about the environment, they just would have done it all on Zoom, no flying in, you know. And I'm not saying energy is bad or good. You know, I think using energy is a good thing. But, you know, they're claiming that, oh, we need to use less energy. And they're using in the context is the everyday person has to use less energy. They need to use things that are less reliable, but they will gladly take a private jet over to a Davos meeting and use more energy. So it's like they want to use more free and abundant energy or cheap and abundant energy while saying that you have to use less in order to protect the environment. And it definitely puts you in a weaker state. If you do not have sustainable grids, if you do not have sustainable power, it's very hard to get work done, especially in this day and age. So they want you using less so they can control you. And I really think it comes down to that.
100%. I really agree. I haven't been able to get to another conclusion, and I've tried to approach it from a place of like, you know, maybe whatever. But yeah, it's hard to come to another conclusion. But and I'm very glad that the Bitcoin conference is focusing on that specifically. Guys, we don't have a promo code for Davos or the World Economic Forum, but we do have a promo code for the Bitcoin conference. Definitely use it. Gets you 10% off. It's promo code simply. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the meme review. I'm very excited. Chris is gonna do a meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom Racks.
Solid sticker slap, by the way. That's excellent there.
It's Kaboom. It always gets us. Kaboom. All right, guys, you already know this is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show where we review your memes. Tag us on Twitter or drop them in our Telegram group, and I will do my best to grab as many as possible. This first one, though. Before I forget. How could I forget, Nico? We say it every single day. Tweets are the bullets. Memes are the artillery. You are in an information war. Make sure you put your hat in the ring and continuously spread the truth, continuously spread the signal, put truth in art, and get the Bitcoin message out there to anyone, whether they want to listen or not. You'll make them laugh, and we'll accept the idea that Bitcoin is a superior way to store your value. Anyways, first meme is by BTC Sessions. As we covered yesterday, what's this guy's name? Cal Penn. More famously known as Kumar from Harold and Kumar for us millennial boomers out here. And so BTC Sessions goes, watching Kumar lecture me on proof of work. Like, so we got this clip up here from Bloomberg Crypto at the top. One option is to replace the proof of work system. And then we got this picture from Harold and Kumar. Like, wait, what? If you know, you know. Great movie, hilarious movie. Anyways, this next one. Shouts out to not only Corin DeLorean, but to Lana DBTC for putting this into a meme form for me. And she goes, who needs to hear this? And we got this looking like a NFT shitcoiner asking a question on Twitter that goes, does anyone know a project that won't end in a rug pull? question mark, please. And Coin DeLorean goes, Bitcoin, you dumb fuck. Okay. All right. Yeah. Anyways, next one is Chair Force. Again, leaning into the same idea. Chair Force goes on Twitter. Okay, this legend has to be on Bitcoin Twitter. And this is just a screenshot from what looks like a headline of a criminal. And he goes, criminal caught after vandalizing cars at NFT meetups by placing right-click save bumper stickers on cars. Claims he was doing the Lord's work. Bitcoin only. Not even sure if this is a parody headline, but it's a good meme nonetheless. Okay, this next one. Shouts out to RDBTC. And he goes, there's always a new shitcoin project to steal your Bitcoin. Don't get scammed. Stay humble. And we got 2020, got someone hypnotized by a new shiny shitcoin. And it says crypto bros. And then 2021, crypto bros again, hypnotized by a new shiny shitcoin project. And then again in 2022, crypto bros hypnotized by another shitcoin project. And again in 2023, we will see even more crypto bros getting hypnotized by another shiny shitcoin project. This is the way. And then shout out to Justin J Orkney 5 on Twitter. And this is part of the sentiment that I've seen of Bitcoiners on Bitcoin Twitter lean into the idea that Bitcoin is green technology, that ASICs are green technology. And we got this meme right here, goes zero emission technologies. And we have a sticker on an electric vehicle. It says zero emission electric vehicle. And then we got the same sticker on an ASIC that says zero emission electric miner. This is the way, guys. Lean into their narratives and co-opt the narrative. This next one, shouts out to Ropium. And this looks like I was, you know, first and foremost, Rope is going to make fun of me because I'm going to butcher what the meme actually is. But it looks like, I don't even know, like they're in a cave and we got a Greek man in his robe and it says memes. And then we got what looks like, I don't even know, a priest or something that says hodlers. And then we got some shitcoiners coming up from the depths. I think this is hell, actually. And we got some shitcoiners coming up from the depths. And then we got some new plebs with their bags. And we're just telling them, you probably should be dropping them bags. Anyways, it is Valentine's Day. And I know only a few of you guys actually have a girlfriend out there. But if you did have a girlfriend, you would feel this meme right here. And we got SpongeBob crying with big eyes at the $100 he has to spend to get his girlfriend Valentine's gift, which is a bouquet of flowers. and then he's crying about it. And then we got SpongeBob with a ridiculously smiley face on his face while he's shelling out $21,500 to buy a Bitcoin. So this Valentine's Day heart, shouts out to Mohagan BTC. This is the way. It's kind of a play on the continuous Bitcoin meme of anything outside of buying Bitcoin hurts the wallet, but when it's in Bitcoin and you're buying Bitcoin, then it's an easy sell, it's an easy buy. I don't know, I can't explain it, but this is the way. Okay, anyways, drop your meme score in the chat.
Are we dropping meme scores? We dropping meme?
Yeah,
scores?
Yeah, our meme scores.
Okay, bro, we need to play the song. There we go. All right, now it's appropriate. Now we're in it. Opti, what would you give those?
Okay.
Memes?
Well, I just recently went to this new place and it's still in my room.
There's epic music, so you have to say it.
Oh
epic.
Wait, you can't even see it. It's this invisible chicken and pickle cup that was holding water, but now it's invisible and you can't see it. So it's an invisible cup. Wow.
Chris, what would you give those memes? You're muted, bro.
Tap signer, Sats card, or maybe just a gift card? No one knows because it's in its sheath to protect it.
All right.
I'm going to give it the Bukele buck.
Well, hold on. I know you did this because Chris is here and we talked about it, but you've already given that score.
All right. Opti punching back.
Caught in 4K.
Oh, he has two. I want that. Now I want that.
I can get that for you, Nico. I can work something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I want that so I can hang it up. The Bukele buck. This is a battle. This is a battle for freedom at the end of the day. I feel good saying that with the music. Anyways,
all right, we got a few scores in here. Oh, actually, you need to plug represent now, right? While we wait.
Yeah.
Or do we do that after?
No. We do that now. You beat me to it. Anyways, guys, check out representltd.com. Oh, Chris is wearing it too. Oh my God, we're all wearing it. Get yourself the Simply Bitcoin merch. This is actually sold out. You have to act quick. The t-shirt, there's still t-shirts left. There's still hats. Get it while supplies last. Go to representltd.com. You can get anything on the store 10% off with the promo code simply-bitcoin. Anyways, Opti, let's check out some of the scores and let me put the music back on. Rave Elevator gives the memes. I give the memes one box of chocolates, 75% off tomorrow for my girlfriend. Very good. Very good. Next one by Elaine. Elaine gives the memes all the maxis raging at the halving party in El Salvador 2024. Next one. Next meme score. We got Bitcoin Becca. I give the memes some heart-shaped sandwiches. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. All right, next one. By Narwhal Tacos, I give the memes a heart candy that says, quote, you have my heart, but not my key phrase. Brianna 51, I give the memes a going away kiss from Christine Lagarde. Valentine's special. Narwhal Tacos, my Valentine's gift to my girlfriend, CBDC Fiat. That can only be spent on bug food. Very, very nice.
He's leaning into, he's a CBDC maxi.
Justin Griffin, I give the memes Simply Bitcoin merch for my girlfriend as a Valentine's Day gift. Approved. That's approved. All right. We're done. Opti, we're done. We ran out of time.
Dude, the music's anyways, epic, everybody, bro.
Anyway, I know I searched epic music and I got it. Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered is a written version of the show. Go to www.simplybitcoin.news. Shout out to our awesome team of writers. There's too much of you guys to give you a shout out at this point. Also, check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram groups. Absolutely free. Simply Bitcoin Telegram group, www.t.me/SimplyBitcoinTV. Go check it out now. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for joining us another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. I want to give a shout out to Chris. Chris, thank you so much for joining on today's episode. Where could people find more about you and what you're doing these days?
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. You can find me at ChrisAlamo6 on Twitter, or you can just follow the Bitcoin Magazine YouTube channel. Subscribes and likes really help. So yeah, it's been great. We're also over on Rumble as well, really publishing a lot of content over there. Twitch, you know, follow our Twitter handle. So great stuff over there. Thanks guys for having me.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. Really, really appreciate it, man. Love when you come on. Guys, the party comes on and Chris is going to be hanging out as well. We are holding it down 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Twitter Spaces, which we co-host with our friends over at swanbitcoin.com. Best place to stack sats built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. If you like the video, you know what to do. Hit that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. And the number one thing you can do to help push this content, help the peaceful Bitcoin revolution is share this video. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. We love you all. We will see you tomorrow, same time, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.